Good morning, Harbor. How are you all doing today? Doing good? Awesome. So my name is Emma. I'm going to be speaking today. I'm really excited. I'm one of the pastors here. I run journey groups and community life at Harbor. I'm also on the teaching team. And I have to start this day with a lovely little story that I'm going to call the Crazy Meatball Lady. So, okay. It's okay to laugh because it's Well, maybe it's very serious, yeah. So anyway, when I was in grad school about 10 years ago, I was a very stressed out person. So I was spending most of my time with people who were also very stressed out because we all wanted to get into the PhD program. I was living in Sturbridge at the time and driving down to Storrs, Connecticut. I was an English lit major in a former life. And we all thought that the most important thing that mattered more than anything else in the world was getting into that PhD program, but there weren't enough slots for everybody who were in the master's program. So we were really invested in this, spending a lot of time reading 200 and older year old pieces of literature and things like that, being consumed by that. So I was commuting a lot to get there. I was stressed out about my future. It was very uncertain. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I didn't get to see my old friends and my family as much as I was used to seeing them. And on top of that, for me, grad school was kind of the pits. It was the worst. So I wasn't having a very good time. And then one fateful night, I was trying to make meatballs for dinner, and they were just, I don't know what I was doing wrong, but I was doing something wrong. They were sticking to the pan, and they were just falling apart, and nothing I did was right, and it was just a disaster. So some of you might be listening to this, and you're thinking, well, that's not that big a deal. I mean, nobody died. It's just meatballs, right? But look, it was actually the apocalypse. You don't understand. So it just put me right over the edge. So I went from, you know, kind of banging around the kitchen and being generally in a kind of bad mood to just like slamming stuff on the stove, and I was dropping stuff on the floor, and I was using very inappropriate words that I will not repeat in church or whatever. I probably shouldn't ever repeat them. It was just not a good thing at all. It was bad. My sweet, sweet, kind husband, who was in the living room while this was happening, he came into the kitchen and he said very innocently, "What's going on in here?" And here's the important thing. He says, it's like you've turned into the Crazy Meatball Lady. All right, now, you can imagine how I responded to that. And I'm going to let you imagine it, because you're probably right. And I wish that I could say that that's the only time the Crazy Meatball Lady has ever been in our house. But sadly, it is not. Crazy Meatball Lady comes back from time to time. And usually, actually, it has nothing to do with meatballs at all. Usually, I'm just stressed out or something's happening. It's because my bucket is empty. So the day that Crazy Meatball Lady came into existence was at a time when my bucket was completely empty, and that she always comes back when my bucket's empty and I lose my, you know, lose my cool. So we're calling this series Bucket List, and we're calling it that because we all have life buckets. So we have buckets that are filled with water, but they kind of always lose that water, whether it's holes in the bucket or we're pouring out into other people in our day-to-day lives. We're interacting with people. We have our jobs. We have the inconveniences of modern life. So we start to lose that water in that bucket, and sometimes we find ourselves with empty buckets, and we wonder, well, how could this have happened? Usually it's because of all those things that I just mentioned, right? And we need to do something about it. The only person who can do anything about your empty bucket is you. You are the only one who can take that empty bucket, put some plugs in it somehow. We've got corks to remind us of that, right? Only you can put yourself under the spigot and fill it back up with water. That is up to you. That is your job. So how do we do this? What are some ways that we can fill our buckets up? How can we hashtag put a cork in it? So, on our first week, Mike told us about having a Sabbath. And so today, technically, we would traditionally think of as being the Sabbath, a Sunday, a day of rest, a day when we come together at church and worship together. We spend time with one another. We kind of put the fires out for that week, and we do things that bring us life and are fun, but that we also worship and fellowship with one another. So we do that, and our buckets get filled. Kelly then talked about the next week. She talked about how we need to take time every day just to be in the presence of God, that we need to sit there as his beloved children and allow God to just fill us with his peace and his love, so that we know that we're accepted, and that we need to stop doing and we just have to be. And that fills our buckets up. And then last week, John was talking to us about how we can fill our buckets in the way that we have that balance between work and play. So when we remember that we are God's children, that that is our identity, that we're not going to be fulfilled by either what we do for work or what we do for recreation, we can have a balanced work and play life, right? And it can be filled with joy. And that can fill our buckets. And all those things, a lot of them have to do with the vertical, right? So when we talk about our relationship with God, that is called the vertical part of our lives, right? But then the part that has to do with community, that is the horizontal. So that has to do with all of us in this room. You need both of those. You cannot have one. Well, we start here, right? We need God, right? But we also need one another. So we need both the, I have to make sure I'm doing these things right, right? We need the vertical and the horizontal. And today we're going to focus more on the horizontal relationships that are important. They're very important. We were created to be in relationship with one another. So when we look in Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible, God makes that crystal clear. When he made Adam in Genesis, he wasn't finished with that one guy, right? Because what happened when he looked at Adam in the garden all by himself? He said, it's not good for man to be alone. God wasn't done creating the whole earth until he created Eve, Adam's helper. That's what she's called in the first chapter. He says that she is Adam's helper. So we often point to that term. We look at that part in scripture and we say that, oh, well, that's evidence for marriage and the sacredness of marriage, that God created it. And I would say yes to all of that. Yes, marriage is sacred. God created it. It's very important. But that's not the only layer to that title of being the helper. So Eve is actually called helper, not because, and you know, this is important, she's not Adam's housekeeper. She is, don't let anyone tell you that that's what it means, because that's not what it means. The word for helper there in the Hebrew actually means something else. It means, well, it's used in the Old Testament elsewhere to describe soldiers and to describe people who are kind of helping in battle, right? So the helper is actually someone who helps you survive and win and get through life. It's a preserver, right? So Adam could not live without Eve as his helper. Adam needed a helper to fill his life bucket. It was not good for him to be alone. And this does apply to marriage, but it applies to all relationships. Any relationship that you have, this applies to it. We humans were not created to be alone. In fact, it is bad to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone, and that's God talking. So when God talks, we listen. So listen, don't let people tell you if you're feeling lonely or if you wish you were better connected with people or if you had community around you, you wish you had that in your life, that that's somehow a bad thing. Don't listen to that. It's not a bad thing. The bad thing is feeling alone. The bad thing is being alone, right? That's the problem. And this is kind of a problem that I think American society has a hard time with, that because we kind of think of it as acceptable. It's just kind of a part of our, you know, bring yourself up by your bootstraps kind of mentality. I was listening to the radio a few years ago, and in this program, they were interviewing people who were immigrating to the United States. They didn't say what countries they were coming from, but they're just talking to all these different people. And they asked them, like, what was their impression of the United States, and what were things that they were worried about, or what were things that they had questions about or thought was kind of weird or scary even. And there was one little girl who said something along the lines of this. She said, well, I heard in the United States that there are people who don't have homes to live in, and they, you know, don't have any family or friends, and they live on the streets and they sleep on the streets. And, you know, the way she was describing it is that she was really confused about this. She thought this was just so strange. And, you know, I think what she's describing is something we've all come to accept, you know, homeless people. We accept that they exist, right? And I think, you know, it's kind of weird to this girl because she's obviously coming from a country that doesn't have as much material goods or wealth probably as we do here. We're the richest country in the world. But she found it really weird that there are still homeless people here. And there's lots of reasons for homelessness, but one of those reasons some people point to is the lack of strong social ties in this country, that people are not as connected. We don't have that safety net to prevent you from falling through the cracks and just being alone like that. Even though we're the richest country in the world, in some ways we are also the poorest because our relationships are not as strong as, say, in the country where this girl was coming from. And that's not good. Here, we are so technologically advanced that we can go an entire day, or maybe even weeks if we try hard enough, without having a real conversation with somebody, or even saying hi to someone, right? So on some of my days off, sometimes I'll say bye to my husband, he'll go to work, and I'll spend 8 hours not talking to another human being for the rest of the day, you know? So talking to the baby and to the dog and the cats, it doesn't really count. That's kind of a one-sided conversation. But I can be home by myself and not interact with people. I can have things delivered right to my door. I don't have to shop as much. I can work from home. I can email people. I can text people. I don't even need to talk to someone verbally. I can just, go on my phone and do it. I can get my friend fix online, right? So I can go on Facebook. I can like a picture of someone's cup of coffee, or I can share my cup of coffee and feel like I connected with someone. It's convenient, right? And I like convenience. And I am also kind of an introvert, so I like to be in my own thoughts. I like to have alone time. I like to go for walks with my dog, especially if I don't run into anyone and have to do that weird, awkward, smile thing. And you kind of have to say that really quiet, hi, good morning. Because if you say it too loudly, you're a sociopath, right? You're not supposed to say it too loud, or there's that unspoken rule. But I find that when I spend several days alone without doing much with other people, I start to get a little bit weird, right? So I start to watch too much Netflix, right? I sit flipping through Facebook so much that I have no idea how much time I spent. I just scrolling, and then it's oh my gosh, a half an hour just went by, right? That's weird. I get kind of bored, or I start to think too much about myself, and I don't really think about other people. I think, well, this is what I need. This is what I want. This is what's wrong with my life, and I don't really think about what's going on with other people. I don't spend, it's really easy, in case this hasn't happened to you, it happened to me, that I can find lots of things wrong with other people when I never spend time with them, right? So it's very easy to get like that. And when we're isolated, bad stuff can also happen, right? So when life stuff starts to happen, we can despair, because we start to think we're the only ones that have gone through hard times. And we think we're the only ones who've had disappointments and struggles. And we think no one else has ever lost a job. We think no one else has ever been depressed. Nobody else has ever had a fight with a spouse or a good friend or a brother, sister, or child. We think nobody else has struggled with their faith or has had questions about belief. We think nobody else has had to face sickness. We think these things, but can you just hear the buckets draining out as I read that list? God said it's not good for man to be alone. So when we live our lives in a way that we're alone and we isolate ourselves from others, our buckets empty out. We become self-centered and we don't care about others. We feel sad. We get tired. So here's what I'm going to say is a final way, this final week of our series, that you can fill your buckets. Relationship. We refill our buckets through relationship. Okay, so some of you are hearing that right now, and you're going, no. Actually, a lot of my relationships make me feel even more tired and drained than ever before, right? And I am very sympathetic towards that, right? So remember, I'm an introvert, so I get energy when I spend time alone and have headphones on. I have a good book and, my nose in a book. And I know that some of you might be in that boat. Some of you might just have really bad relationships, right? So you spend time with people who are maybe healthy or unhealthy or demanding and, take a lot out of you and kind of talk and don't listen and, all those things that just make you feel really exhausted. So it's true, relationships can be very exhausting. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. The real issue here is either you aren't getting that really important being in God's presence time, which is what Kelly talked about, or your relationships are not very healthy, and that's why they're draining you out. Honestly, I don't think we really understand how relationships should be or what they're all about. We have very unbalanced ideas about how relationships work. So I'm going to kind of put on my little teacher hat, and we're going to have a little checklist of some Bible verses to see how we can have a more godly and bucket-filling view of relationships and see what God has spoken in his word about relationships. So we're going to start with step one for refilling your relationship bucket. So we need to know this thing, that Jesus is a perfect friend. So in John 15:15, if you want to follow along, it'll be on the screens. We have Bibles too if you want to take one. They're a gift to you. But in John 15:15, Jesus says this, "I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me." So let's stop here for just a minute. How amazing is it that Jesus is our friend? you know, Jesus, he is God, so he's creator of everything. He's been here forever. He is this mighty and all-powerful being, and yet he counts us as friends. He's the only friend who will never let us down. He will never reject us. He is always with us. And when we forget this, or if we don't really understand or feel it in our own lives, I think we start to expect more from people than they can actually give us. So, show of hands, how many of you have had a friend who let you down? All right. Okay, second question. How many of you have let a friend down? Yep, kind of equal on both sides, right? People are fallible, right? People have their own needs. People have their own limitations. People mess up all the time. Our human relationships can never be perfect. But our relationship with Jesus is perfect because he is perfect. People may let us down. That's a given. We may let our friends down. That's definitely a given. I know that because I've let lots of people down. But Jesus is our perfect friend, and he won't let us down. So we can come to him. We can tell him everything with complete honesty, and he will never be hurt. You will never hear this from Jesus. He will never say, TMI, girl, or whoa, dude, put a lid on that. You know, you've got to clamp that down because no one wants to hear that. That's just too much, right? Jesus would never say that to any of us because he can handle it. He can handle all things. Nothing surprises him, nothing offends him, and nothing freaks him out that he wants to take a couple steps back from you when you're talking, right? To have a healthier view of relationships that fill us, we need to first remember that Jesus is the only perfect friend. If we expect our friends to be perfect and meet all of our needs and to save us from loneliness and to save us from feelings of sadness or low worth or isolation, we're going to be disappointed every time. But if we take these expectations and look to Jesus, we will not only find our needs met, but we'll find our needs met above and beyond what we expected. So we have to start there, and we have to find contentedness and comfort in that. Sometimes we expect our friends, family, and relationships to complete our sense of self and our sense of meaning. And that's just not good, because that ultimately will end up hurting the other person a lot, and it'll hurt us. So like John said the other week, we can only know true joy through our identity as God's children and also as a friend of Jesus. So, your boyfriend or your girlfriend does not complete you. Jesus Christ does. Your marriage does not and cannot complete you. Jesus Christ does. Your friendships do not and cannot complete you. Jesus Christ does. Your family does not and cannot complete you. Jesus Christ does. These are all good things. None of these things are bad, but your bucket can only get filled if you start with Jesus. Your relationships will be a drain. It'll be a hole in your bucket if you expect these relationships to give you happiness, joy, and meaning. You start with Jesus, your perfect friend. So fill your bucket up, fill your relationship bucket with a relationship with Jesus first. All right, so next on to bucket list relationship filler number two. We have to remember this, that real friendship is face-to-face time. And I've got another verse for you to either remember or write down. We're going to look at Proverbs this time. So in Proverbs 18:24, it says, "There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother." And I actually really like a different translation of this verse. This is from the English Standard Version translation of the Bible. It says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." So, what is this verse about exactly, and what am I getting at here? Why did I pick the scripture? Well, if you're anything like me, you are allowing quantity of relationships to replace the quality of relationships. And there are two things, I think, for modern people that are really affecting our relationships as well, and that would be technology and time. So technology and time. First, we're going to look at technology. So maybe you don't make time to spend in real relationship. Maybe you're replacing that face-to-face time with Facebook time or online time or text time or email time, although everyone tells me people don't really do email that much anymore. But maybe it's a combination of those things. So this is not meant to be a knock on any of those things. It's not a knock on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. I really like these things. I like Facebook. I think the internet does great things to help people get connected to one another and to talk. If it wasn't for the internet, I would have had a really hard time connecting with friends that moved to Australia for a couple years. You know, I wouldn't be able to see their faces and talk to them that way. So technology can be really great. I love these things. They're awesome, right? But here's the problem. How often do we allow these tools to replace the time we would spend with someone in person? So, yeah, I've got hundreds of Facebook friends, woo, but like, not really, right? Because this verse in Proverbs is telling us something important. It's better to have fewer friends, but have real friends, close friends, than the kind of friends that will breathe life into us, than it is to have lots and lots of friends. When it comes to friendships, it is quality, not quantity, that matters. I think there was a study that said that, you know, you can only know and be really close friends with a certain number of people, and I believe it's like 50 or 75. It's like you can't be everyone's friend. The quality goes down if the quantity goes up. So if you were going to do an inventory of your friends, so if you made a long list of all your Facebook friends or whatever friends, how many of them would you call if you found out you were sick with something really serious? Or if one of your kids was in big trouble, or if you got fired from your job, or if you were struggling with feelings of shame, or if you made a huge mistake and you didn't really know what else to do or where to turn. I think if we looked at our list, our numbers would shrink significantly when we think about that. I know that mine would. Have any of you seen the movie Citizen Kane before? Have any of you seen that movie? So he kind of illustrates this pretty well. So he was really rich. He was a celebrity and a politician, and people knew who he was. They recognized his face. But he wouldn't let anyone really know him, right? He kind of kept everyone at an arm's length or whatever. So even though he was famous and tons of people knew him, they didn't really know him. And he died all alone in this huge echoing house, and he had all this stuff, but no people around him. And does anyone remember his last word? Before he died, Rosebud. And Rosebud was what? The sled, right? So he had the sled when he was a little kid, and they show him riding the sled and his mom's watching him. That was the last true relationship that he had, was as a little boy riding his sled with his mother there. And that's when everything changed. So he died without any friends, and he was just longing for that time with Rosebud, that simpler time where he was truly loved. He didn't have that friend like a brother. Now, I would hope that no one in this room is in that boat. Maybe you are, but I don't think so. But I do think we have less extreme versions of this. So even though we're more connected with one another, I can get a text from someone, you know, in real time, right? And we can connect really quickly. Even though I have that, it's easy to have those small friendships than strong friendships. That's a problem. You know, we're connected and yet not connected. So the kind of friend that you know would do anything for you, drop it all, and come to help you if you needed it, we might be compromising those kinds of relationships, right? And that's what we want. We want that friend that's closer than a brother, right? And that sounds great. We all want to have good friends that are awesome, real true friends. And I don't think any of you listening right now are disagreeing with me. But what might be happening is that you agree with me, and yet you don't really have that in your life or as much as you would like that. And I get it. So like I said, we live in a culture that doesn't really value those social ties as much. We're very busy. And so we have something that we're working against, something very significant. And that thing is time. So notice that I said real friendship, real relationship is face-to-face time. So we have to make time for it. And this is an obstacle just as big as technology. I think we often blame technology for things. But I would say that time and the way that we have our lot of things infringing on our time, that is maybe the bigger problem. We feel like we don't have enough time to make for relationships, to develop and invest in friendships. And the reason why it's easier to make friends when we're kids, because I think we all remember those friends that we had as kids, was because we didn't have jobs. We didn't have other things we had to do, all those obligations that eat up our time, right? I mean, when you're in college and when you're a little kid, you're just hanging out with other kids all the time, right? It's easy to make friends. And I get this too, because I find myself saying all the time, oh, I'd love to spend more time with people, but I'm just so busy. Which, yes, that is true. You know, I have an infant, I work here at Harbor, you know, I'm in the middle of a move, I'm very busy lately. But that doesn't let me off the hook, because the real problem is that I use the time I have very badly. You know, I'm really, truly afraid to find out if I added up all the times when I would take my phone out of my pocket to like check Instagram or check Facebook. I really am afraid to find out what that would add up to. But I bet if I did add it up, it would at least add up to 1 hour of coffee time with a friend or dinner or something like that, or at least a phone conversation, probably more than an hour. And I have to admit something else that uses up even more of my time. So hi, my name is Emma, and I am a TV addict. And I love TV. I love TV a lot. I love watching TV. I love reading articles about TV shows that I watch. I love dissecting it. I like talking about TV with my friends. I'm really into it. And my dad used to call me MTV because when I was little, I really loved TV as well. I've always loved it. Binge watching, I am convinced that Netflix found out about me and said this would be perfect for her. So binge watching is, I love it. I'll go hours watching TV. And again, TV isn't a bad thing, right? It's a recreational thing I enjoy in the same way that I might enjoy a good drink now and then. But if I drank as many beers as I did watch TV, I would probably need a major intervention, which, fun fact, is also a TV show. So it's just not good. I think TV is actually my bigger vice than social networking. Although, let's be honest, while I am watching TV, I am also on Facebook. Right? Some people probably can relate to that. So how ridiculous is that? Jeff and I really will be sitting on the couch watching TV together with our phones out while simultaneously, and sometimes I'll even have my laptop open at the same time because I'm doing stuff on that too. So I'm checking email, I'm on Facebook, and I'm watching TV. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, what do I think I'm doing? Like, seriously, if I really thought about it, it's like, this is madness, right? Because if I let it, I could easily become a person with many friends who comes to ruin. I need to make time somehow to follow God's instructions. I need to make time to hang out with my husband. I need to make time with the TV off, right? I need to make time to have dinner or coffee or phone conversations with friends, and I am not good at this. I'm actually pretty bad. But friendships take work, time and work. It's not as simple as we like to think. We need to make time and prioritize relationships in order to have life-giving, bucket-filling relationships. We need to do this. It is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for woman to be alone. It's not good for people to be alone. We need to prioritize and make time for healthy relationships because healthy relationships refill our buckets. And this is a big life change. It may even be an inconvenience. All of us, I know, are already stretched pretty thin. I may be saying something that makes you a little worried or just tired even just hearing it, right? But the payoff is so great. I think we all can think of a time where we had a really hard week, we were really tired and drained, but we were going to hang out with some old friends we haven't seen in a long time. And maybe a few hours, you feel like a few minutes have passed, but then you look at your watch and you're like, whoa, that was 3 hours ago that I got here, right? And then when you leave that night, you feel yourself like you have new life again, like, wow, that was good, I really needed that, I feel filled up, you feel energized, you feel loved, you feel filled. And that's what I'm talking about here. That's what God wants for us. He does not want us to be alone. He wants us to be his friend, and he wants us to be friends. So now what? So let's all make friends. So that's easy to say, but how do we do it? Like I said, it's not like I'm saying anything super controversial here. I don't think I'm going to have like a line of people with their arms crossed, kind of angry, saying, you know, telling us to be friends with people, that's, you know, complete baloney. Like, quite frankly, I found that very offensive. I don't think I'm going to have any conversations about that. This is not a tough message in that sense of the word. But it is tough that it requires conscious action on our part. It can be hard to figure out what we can do, right? So when we're little kids, you just go outside, you walk next door, and you knock on the door and say, do you want to go for a bike ride, or do you want to play Mario Kart or something, right? And I mean, no one's stopping you from doing that now. I mean, you can go home and do that if you'd like. Jeff and I also still play Mario Kart, so it might work for us. But it is different for adults to make friends, right? But I'm still going to push you all and myself. I'm going to push you to put a cork in it by refilling yourself through relationship. We've been telling you to put a cork in it every week, right? And we have corks in the cafe still by the welcome table and also under the clock that you can take as a reminder. And some of you might be hearing this message and thinking, I need a reminder to refill myself through relationship. So we would ask you, stop by there and pick up the cork for that reminder. But I also have a few next steps that might help as well. So maybe the next step that you need to take is you need to repair a relationship. So you need to take a cork to remind yourself that you need to repair a relationship. You know, sometimes there are relationships that cannot be salvaged. So maybe it was a situation with abuse, right? So maybe it was a physical abusive relationship or emotionally abusive or spiritually or whatever it was. And that relationship, you know, just cannot be salvaged. And that's okay. So we forgive, but that doesn't mean that you reconcile necessarily. So I'm not saying that you were in a really unhealthy, terrible relationship and you should reconcile. That would actually drain your bucket. So sometimes when we forgive, we cannot continue that relationship. But I think for a lot of us, we have relationships that maybe fell apart or have some distance between them, or there are problems, and we kind of let things go because there was a hurt or a problem, and that friendship became draining for us. And so, maybe it was poor boundaries. Maybe it was dishonesty. Maybe there was bad communication. Maybe we're letting a lack of forgiveness and grace for that person get in the way of repairing the relationship. But here's something you probably don't want to hear, and I know I hate hearing it when I'm in this situation. A lack of forgiveness is one of the most draining things that can happen to a person. So when we don't forgive a person, it's like taking that life bucket, turning it upside down, and then taking the whole bottom out of it. So it makes for a great basketball hoop, I guess, but it's pretty useless for holding water. So when you withhold forgiveness, you are killing yourself, like seriously. It's not good for the other person, sure, but it's deadly to you. So forgive, and if possible, if it's healthy, reconcile with that person. You may find that once you reconcile, once you extend that forgiveness and that relationship is repaired, that relationship, that friendship starts to fill you up again. So take a cork. You can take a cork in that cafe and remind yourself to forgive. But maybe what you need to do is you need to prioritize and make time for relationship. So maybe you're kind of an introvert like me and it takes a little extra effort to make time for relationship, or maybe you're just a really busy person and at the end of the week you just don't think you have time to spend with friends and family. If that describes you, either of those things, I would say to take one of these courses and have it be a reminder to set aside 1 hour this week to reconnect with a friend. Just 1 hour, and see how it refills your bucket. So first step to putting a cork in it, forgive that friend. Forgive that friend, repair that relationship. Second, make time, find an hour, invite a friend out for coffee, just 1 hour of your time. But here's another possibility, another way you might need to put a cork in it. Maybe you need to take a cork as a way to remind yourself to prioritize relationships here at Harbor. Maybe you have lots of friends elsewhere, but not actually here at the church. And here's a strong statement that I'm going to make that might rub you the wrong way, but it's just reality. You cannot follow Jesus without community. You cannot be a lone wolf follower of Jesus. If you don't believe me, just look at him, right? He was not some wandering mystic that nobody knew. He wasn't this mysterious guy that no one understood or didn't know. You know how we have the Gospels. You know how we have the New Testament or those first four books. It's because people knew Jesus. Jesus did not write a word of the Bible, actually. It was, especially in the New Testament, he definitely did not write that because he had friends. His friends recorded everything that he did for us. His friends Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the 12 disciples were his friends. He had really close relationships with other people. So he had those 12 friends that he lived with and spent all his time with, and he had alone time too, yes. He was surrounded by crowds a lot too, yes, but he spent a lot of his time with these people. He also had friends like Lazarus and Mary and Martha. He goes over their house for dinner and hangs out with them, right? He made time for friends, even though he was a busy guy. If anyone was busy, it was Jesus, right? So we follow Jesus' example, and so we value friendship because it's not good for people to be alone. God said it, Jesus lived it, so we trust it. So here at Harbor, we make room for relationship. And this week, as Allie mentioned, we have those little papers in your chairs to let you know about the different ministries we have here that you could connect with. So we have things like Men's Harbor, Women's Harbor, Young Adults Group, Harbor Student Ministry. We also have Journey Groups, and those are going to be starting up in a couple weeks. And there's info and a link on that page. I am the director of Journey Groups. I love Journey Groups. If you want to talk to me about Journey Groups, please come to the welcome table. I'd be happy to tell you more. And come to church that weekend of the 11th and 12th to sign up. And you can also sign up online. You can find out more. We're happy to answer questions. Ministry groups, Journey Groups, volunteering here is also a great way to get to know other people in community. Just by, greeting people at the door or helping out with recording the sermon and things like that. All of these things build relationships, and all of these things can then refill that relationship bucket. So take some time when you take that cork. Consider whether you need to put a cork in it by getting to know people at Harbor more. It is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for people to be alone. It empties our buckets. This life can be hard, but even when it's good, we were meant to be together. I want to close this message reading something for a moment, Romans 12, and I love these verses because they really get at community and why we need it. So in Romans 12:15, it says, "Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all." And that's what it's all about. We are better together. We can celebrate and be happy with one another. We can cry and mourn with one another. It doesn't matter what your status is. It doesn't matter if you're married, single, young, old, vegetarian, or 100% carnivore, Democrat, Republican, socialist, anarchist. All right, and I know this next one is going to push it, so take a deep breath. Embrace yourself for a shock. It doesn't matter whether you're a Red Sox or a Yankees fan. Yes, I know. I told you that was a tough one to swallow, but it's the truth. It's the truth. We learn from one another. It's about the one another's. So let's put a cork in it. Let's refill through relationship with one another. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for being our friend, for being willing to live with us, to show us what it's like to have strong relationships, life-giving relationships, God. And it's such a privilege that we are able to both be a friend with you and that we're able to have life-giving relationships with one another. Lord, I pray that as we go into this time of communion, as we consider the ways that you commune with us, Lord, that we would commune with one another too, that you made us to be in community, that you made us to be friends with one another, Lord. So open our eyes and our hearts to the next step that you have for us, Lord. We love you so much, and we pray all of these things in your Son's name. Amen.